And, well, I do want to ask about genetic engineering, but mm-hmm. that's, I'll wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's, you know, the World War II, that's the way, that's how things were kind of affected here. The Green Revolution, was that, did that touch southern New Mexico at all?
What do you mean by Green Revolution?
With the genetically engineered crops, and I mean, it's not, I know it, I mean, Green Revolution doesn't sound very green to me, but it's, you know, the genetically engineered crops coming in, the agro-industry, and I don't know if actually giving, if, I mean, I know now they the agro-industry will help out with infrastructure, but I don't know if that was a practice before. I mean, I think that it was in the 50s and the 50s and the 40s when the Green Revolution was going into Mexico and India, for the most part. But was that, did it have any presence here?
Because New Mexico State is a land-grant college and one of our missions is agriculture, we have a lot of researchers that date back to Nakayama, Professor Nakayama, who developed these new strains of chili, but in continuing to this day in genetically manufactured organisms. And we do have professors working on campus who are working on that. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I have talked with a couple professors, and they're working on plants that will help, they hope, end hunger in third world countries, or will have root systems that nematodes won't eat. So that's the type of GMO that I know is being worked on here. And if you want, I can give you the name of the professor that I'm thinking of,
yeah,
and she would be interesting for you to talk with.
Yeah.
So I can give it to you at the end of the interview.
Okay,
I
hope.
I don't know a whole lot about GMOs. Okay. But because we are a land-grant institution, there has been a lot of research and experimentation over the years on that.
Okay. Do you have any idea about the valley? I mean, how much? I mean, yeah, I'm just asking questions that mm-hmm. I know I have to answer. So do you know, are there many genetically modified organisms in the area, or do you have any
that are being grown?
Yeah.
I think so. We're driving around the valley once in a while, you'll see a sign that says, you know, doesn't say GMO, but it's a sign mm-hmm. for some crop that's being grown right there, and it has a number on it, and I think, well, that's probably a GMO.
Okay. The professor that you're talking about would probably have...
She would probably have a better idea.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So... Today you've kind of touched on what the main crops are and why they are, you know, they came from the Elephant Butte
mm-hmm.
with the pecans, the chilies. Is there anything else? Are there any other main crops today that...
What's mainly grown today, of course, are pecans, chili, corn for silage for the dairy farms that are around here, not necessarily for human consumption, lettuce... Onions are a big crop, cabbage, some pistachios, but those are the main agricultural crops for export and for market that are grown.
Okay.
And not wheat. Wheat used to be a big crop in the 1920s, 1930s. It used to be a big crop here, but it's rarely grown here.
Why did that change, do you know?
I think partly wheat is, of course, grown in the Midwest, in the wheat belt, and to use the precious water here for wheat is just not economically viable.
Okay. You know, water is always an issue. So I don't know about this area with development. Is there a lot of development going on here? Is, you know, what's happening with the water, not only with with development and agriculture, are things shifting in where the water is being diverted?
There is a lot of development, especially in Las Cruces, but all throughout, up and down the Mesilla Valley. A lot of houses are going in, a lot of subdivisions are going in. Annexations to the city are being proposed and oftentimes approved all the time. One of the areas that is not addressed is, where's all this water going to come from? And you hear about it in the newspaper, you hear about it at the public meetings, citizens get up and say, where's the water coming from? I don't see a good response about water management from our elected officials. Okay. So because I know that other communities, both in New Mexico as well as El Paso, are becoming more aware that water is a finite resource and doing water preservation and conservation. But unfortunately, it hasn't really kicked in Las Cruces yet.
Okay. I think, it seems like that's a very similar story everywhere. I think that those are some of my main questions. There was one question about, and anything else that you want to add, if you'd like to add it now, I want to also ask you about the expression of land through culture, if there's anything that you see. But if there's anything else that you feel is important, please go ahead and add that.
Why don't you ask that question again?
If there's anything else that you want to add, feel free to add it.
Okay.
I will ask you another question, and that's
okay.
About the expression of land through culture.
But. We're defined by where we live. We're defined by the land and the place. Maybe that's a better way to say it, the place, because the place is about culture, it's about environment, it's about geography, about land. So we are all creations of our place, of where we live, where we grew up, where we immigrated to, where we live now. And that is a key fact of life. People who come to New Mexico from a different part of the country, perhaps a part of the country that has more rain, more water resources, oftentimes bring that culture here, and so have lawns, have a way of life that is not something that somebody who grows up in the desert would have. They use water differently than those people who come from places that have a lot of water. So that influences who we are as well. And as we get more influx of people from other parts of the country coming to our beautiful state, there's going to be a conflict of how to use water, partly because these people are going to need water to begin with. There's just going to be more and more of a demand of water, but partly because how they use water is differently than people who grew up in the desert use water. So that's a possible conflict that could happen in the future. It's happening right now, really, but it could get worse in the future. Because we're a product of our place, the land and the culture are intertwined. And traditions and festivals are created to reflect the culture, but also reflect the land. So you have people living on land differently down here than up in northern New Mexico. Down in southern New Mexico, the culture from Mexico is a lot more integrated into southern New Mexico than it is northern New Mexico. Although there's a lot of similarities, but still. We have the border that's between the United States and Mexico. It's about 40 miles from where we're sitting right now. That's a political border, highly patrolled, highly politicized. Where is the cultural border? Where is the linguistic border? Where is the economic border? Well, there's no line in the sand like there is in the political border. So because we're closer to Mexico here than up in northern New Mexico, we have our culture down here is more of a mixture of U.S. and Mexico. It's not Mexico. It's not U.S. It's a combination of the two. And that can be said throughout all of New Mexico, but down here, because of our proximity to Mexico, I think there's more of an influence.
Okay.